Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Rivals. I'm Gary Thorne. Our purpose here is to try and preserve the memories of classic sports rivalries through the words of those who participated in those events. And today, the big rivalry, it was the 2002 World Series. Mike Socio was behind the bench for the Angels, and on the other side, Dusty Baker of the San Francisco Giants. This was the first time that a World Series featured two wild card teams since the wild card had gone into effect, and it was a series that would go seven games, with a game six that had all the excitement you could ever ask for. And we are delighted to have both Mike and Dusty with us here. Guys, I'm going to start out to, even before getting to the series and the games itself. Mike, can you talk a little bit about the relationship with Dusty, going back to the fact you guys were teammates in 81 when the Dodgers won the World Series?
Yeah, definitely, Gary. Even before then, I remember I was in the minor leagues with the Dodgers, and Dusty had come over from a trade with Atlanta. And as we got into spring training, he started to be around the major league players. Dusty was one of the guys that took an interest in you. And, you know, you're 18 years old in your first spring training, and you have Dusty coming up and, you know, telling you, hey, man, you're doing all right. Keep going. So it started before then. And as you get through the minor leagues, get up to the big leagues, you know, there's nobody that I've ever had more respect for than Dusty, just for the way that he carried himself, the way the teammate he was, the great player he was, and how much he wanted to win. That's something that that rubbed off on all of us young players coming up in the Dodger organization at that time.
Dusty, what are your memories of Mike going back there?
Well, you know, I remember when Mike signed, and his mom and dad, shortly after they'd come down to spring training. And, you know, Steve Yeager was a catcher at the time, Steve Yeager and Joe Ferguson. And then they, you know, Lasorda told me, said, hey, man, we got a kid coming up that's going to be a heck of a catcher. And I said, well, you know, we have a heck of a catching tandem now. But he said, this kid's going to be the regular catcher someday. And Mike was very attentive. He was always mannerable. You know, I mean, you could tell by the intensity in his eyes that he was, he was a winner. You know, and he worked hard. You know, he worked hard at it. And, you know, the veterans, we really respected, the young guys that worked hard and respected the young guys that had respect, for the older players, because there was at some point in time in your career, we were in the same position as Mike Socio was in, and I was with the Braves, I had Hank Aaron and Rico Carty and Orlando Cepeda and Cleet Boyer and these guys that took me under their wing. And I just tried to treat the young players at the same way that I had been treated, when I came up. And, the hard part about being a young player is feeling comfortable. And if you can help them feel comfortable, then they will, they will blossom the way Mike did.
Let me ask you, about speaking of being comfortable, let's go to the two of you now. Now you're going to face one another in the 2002 yeah. World Series.
Gary, excuse me. One thing I wanted to add before I forget is that I used to love how Roy Campanella would come in his wheelchair, because Mike was lockering next to me, and he would catch, he would teach Mike, about catching. And and I never forget, and I use this to this day, even with my young catchers, that Roy Campanella, I say Roy Campanella used to tell Mike Socia to catch him over the plate and not off the plate. Is that correct, Mike?
Yeah, Dusty, you're 100% on the money. And Roy would come in, and he would just share information. He was always the first one in spring training. He was there early in the clubhouse, and he just pull up next to me and start talking. And I remember him talking about saying, like, Mike, you had to know Campy, man. It was so easy going. He had kind of that high, raspy voice, and he would say, Mike, you can't strike a guy out in the first pitch when you're catching. You got to be able to receive the ball. You got to get to a count where you can put him away. And then you go for then you put him away. And I think it's just those little insights, when you have somebody like Roy Campanella even saying anything to you, you're like on cloud nine. And I remember walking by, like, Campy would talk to me, and Campy's talking to somebody else, and he goes, he's talking about me and he goes, that kid's going to be all right. You know, talking about me, man, I felt like I was on cloud nine. And it was just, it's so important. And I think that's why I think all of us, I know Dusty knows the tradition of organizations and he did it wherever he was. And I always felt the tradition of the Angel organization. I was there to bring these guys that were the real, just the important figures in any organization, and just to be around the young kids and doing this and doing that. And like, I know Dusty, you know, when he goes around talking to kids in the minor leagues, just the fact that he shows up and he says, hey, you're going to be all right, man. It makes that kid walk with more confidence and play with more confidence. And that's what Roy did for me.
Wow. So you're going to be in the World Series. It's set. Do you, either of you, reach out to the other before you got to the ballpark for game one? Did you have any conversations at all before the series started?
I don't want to look Dusty in the eyes, man, because I knew he was going to be analyzing something. I didn't want to look him in the eyes because he was going to figure something out that was going to, you know, help him to try to beat us. So, no, we didn't. We said hi on the field, you know, before. I think we took a couple pictures, but
see, Gary, like Mike doesn't trust me because see. When I
you're right traded, about that. Okay. You're 100% right about that.
Hey, when I got traded, he came up to me and he said, I'm not telling you anything about our club. I said, come on, Mike, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I saw when Lee Lacy got traded to Pittsburgh. You know, he said, hey, man, how you feeling? You got a bad head. How's this other guy feeling? And he said, man, that's one of your best friends and you're getting information from him to take it back and use it against them. So you always tell him, I'm not telling you nothing.
Hey, Dusty was like that. He was like the Secret Service, man. He would find so much information out and use it. Hey, man, you get it on this guy here. His hands hurt, right? Hey, he's not going to be running now, man. It says hamstrings tight. He's not going to be running, so don't worry about it. You know what I mean? It was unbelievable. But I think that just talks in the depth of Dusty. You know, Dusty, you guys, not, you know, you and your generation taught us a great lesson about picking the game apart and peeling the paint off of it and understanding things just the way you guys went about your business. I remember in spring training watching you guys run the bases, like not in the games, taking your secondary leads, cutting bases, the way you would break up a double play, all the things that you wanted to put into a young player. You guys did it, and that was the best lesson we had. But, Dusty, Gary, I can't tell you how many little things in the game he has picked apart, understood, that made him a better coach or a manager or even a player when he was playing, but also making the guys that played for him better ball players.
But see, Gary, when we were in the World Series, I had, like, Mike Socha, my teammate, on the other side. I think I had Ryan Reneke, my teammate, on the other side. Was
Mickey
Bobby
Hatcher.
Mickey Hatcher was there, my too, with old crazy Mickey Hatcher.
And Alfredo then, Griffin, you know Alfredo.
Yeah, Alfredo from we were teammates in Oakland. And then right. Buddy Black played for me in San Francisco. So I was outnumbered. You know, I mean, these guys.
You are not number. We're just in meetings, and we're like, "Hey, man, don't talk to Bake. Don't look him in the eyes. Say hi to him, and that's it. And get away. That's it." You know. So, but yeah, it was, it was a great rivalry. Just for being because it was Southern California against Northern California,
right?
And you know, Gary said we were wild card teams. Believe me, we weren't wild card teams. We won 99 games. The Giants were stacked. And they were two great teams going after it, and really an epic seven game series. And it could have gone either way. I mean, there was a couple plays that would have meant that, you know, the Giants won, and a couple plays that we got, you know, ended up turning it our way.
How about it, tickets to game six here? Let's the one that is most talked about in that series. The Angels, you overcame a 5-run deficit. Right. Late in that ball game, can each of you just talk about that a little bit? What went on there?
Well, that hurt. I'll start off. I mean, that really hurt to me because, you know, that was the best bullpen team that I think I had ever had—a complete bullpen. And everybody still talks about it up here. Why'd you take you know, Russ Ortiz out of the game. He was dealing. Well, Russ Ortiz, I think, I don't know how, in his first start, I think he had gone like three innings or three and a third or something. He got scalded in that first game. And so I had a real, real close eye on him at the time, and he had just given up a couple to a couple of rockets. I think one to Salmon up the middle and one to left field. They were starting to hit him hard. And so I said, well, I got to go to the bullpen right now. I conferred with my coaches, and I said, well, you know, do I stick with Russ Ortiz? Because usually Russ was better. You know, I had all these stats at the time, contrary to what most people believe. You know, I always had stats, whether I follow them or not. But it said that, you know, he was better after 85 pitches. His ERA was like 2.3, and I had told Barry Bonds this before. And before that, his ERA in the first five or six innings or under 80 pitches was like 4.2 or something like that. And so I kind of went against that the stats in that situation that I had been using. Now, if I had to do something all over again, I probably would have turned Spezio around. But thing about it is I had seen Spezio hit I had Scott Arrow warming up, and I had seen Spezio about 2 months before hit the same kind of pitches that Scott Arrow threw out of the ballpark right-handed. So I said, well, I'm gonna leave him on his left side, and you know, didn't work. And then I actually went there a couple of like I said, about an inning of the third earlier than I kind of wanted to. But, you know, at that time, I felt that I had to close the game. Now, nowadays, if you made that move, they'd ask you what took so long, because they go to the bullpen so early now. You know what I mean? And and the thing that I remember most, I remember Mickey Hatcher taking that hat off in the dugout and shaking it and looking at me. And then, you know, see, like, I like gorillas. I like orangutans. I don't care nothing about monkeys. I hate monkeys. And so all I did was look on that board up there, and all I saw was that monkey jumping up and down. Next thing I know, they had a rally. And, you know, that was a heartbreaker, you know, to lose the Sosa. Now, what do you remember about that?
Well, you know, it's 5-0. So we're down to, you know, we got 9 outs left. We're going to the 7th inning, but our dugout was upbeat, man. Like Erstad, Garrett Anderson, Timmy Salmon, all these guys, they were upbeat. Benji Molina, they were like, hey, good at bats, just good at bats, good at bats. Mm-hmm. So and we get a little rally going. We get a rally going the 7th. And as Dusty made that move, and I think it was Felix Rodriguez you brought in, right?
Correct.
And he made one pitch. Dusty, you know, if you see highlights of that, it's one pitch that he missed his location on.
Right.
It was came down and into Spezio.
Oh, out of here.
And he hit it out of the park. If he had been able to get that ball outside the Spezio, and maybe it was a single, you know, or something like that, anything but
right.
A home run. You know, the momentum doesn't quite get back onto our side of the dugout. So as he hit the home run, you know, we're still down 5-3, but we got a little, now you got a little ray of hope. You're like saying, okay, let's go. And you know, their bullpen had been good all series, but that's part of a 7-game series, Gary, is the fact that that bullpen usage is going to start to, get to you. Not so much they're getting tired, but they're getting exposed to the same hitter time in and time out if they're holding leads. And we both relied on our bullpens a lot. So it's something it's just even Frankie Rodriguez in that game 6 got, you know, he got hit around a little bit because he had been used a lot. And so, you know, that's all part of a 7-game series. But we were upbeat, and we just knew that, hey, we're back in this game. It's going to shut down inning, which we did. And then we came out in the 8th, and we got 3 more runs, and we're able to hold the lead.
And so on that home run by Spezio, that went in the front row. And I remember – I was trying to help Reggie Sanders jump to get it.
But
he got too close to the wall. And
he hit like his ribs or something on the exactly. gate and didn't get any. He couldn't get back there. Yeah,
exactly. He didn't get any height. And if he'd have got just a foot on that. And I know Reggie can jump. He's a great athlete. But like I said, he just got too close to the wall. And sometimes you just think, you know, man, you know, what do you have to do, you know, to win a game? But I tell you, that was a, you know, that was a great, great series. You know, that one, like, you know, really broke my heart. It broke our hearts. And, you know, other than, you know, if I was to lose, which I hate to lose, so should tell you. I mean, at least, at least I didn't lose to some guy that I can't stand on the other side of the field. You know what I mean?
No, don't even try that, man. You hate to lose. It could have been your mother. You would have still been upset. You hate to lose, man. That's the long and short of it, man. I mean, it was an unbelievable series. There were so many things could have gone. Yeah, you had two great teams. I mean, I think Dusty. You guys were coming in with about as much confidence as a team could have. We had as much confidence as a team could have. You know, we had knocked off the Yankees, you know, to keep going and just beat the Twins, and we were a great team. And we're now facing, you know, arguably the best team in the National League, even though they were a wild card team. I mean, right. these guys had it was two great teams going at it. I think everybody played well. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, Dusty, if you look at every player on the field, they played well, even though sometimes they gave up hits, the bullpen, they came in, everybody played well, and it came down to a couple things in the series. I mean, one game they hoodwinked us like 16-4, I think it was. Right. I mean, these guys were, you know, there was no mercy rule. You were going hard, you were trying to win, and you were trying to play, and it just came down to we got a couple hits at the end, and we were able to hold leads and held on to game seven.
Well, how about starting go ahead.
In game seven, though, see, I had to make a major decision on if I was going to start Levon Hernandez or if I was going to start, you know, Kurt Reeder. And I thought with the right hand hitters that you guys had, and Levon Hernandez's experience in the World Series, you guys came out and scalded him like early, like right away. Then Kurt, you know, Reeder shut him down. And then a big play in that game is I had to make a decision if I was going to play Senjo in center field or if I was going to play Kenny Lofton in center field, which Senjo was a better defender at that time because Kenny was older. But, you know, Kenny said, Dusty, I'm not very productive as the DH. And he said, I hate DHing. And so I made the decision to play Kenny Lofton in center and then DH Senjo and then – I don't know if you recall or not, it was a big play where a ball, you know, dropped in there that Senjo probably, you know, would have caught. But at the same time, you got to kind of acquiesce sometimes to you know, make your players comfortable to play in a position where they want to play, you know, to try to win the ball game.
No doubt. I think, you know, Dusty, you guys, we started John Lackey, who was a rookie on 3 days rest, and we're just hoping to get five innings from him. And really, he got out. You guys were pressuring him early in the game, mm-hmm. and he minimized some damage. I think it was a sack fly that Garrett made a nice play on in the corner that held you guys to one run to give us a chance. Then Benjamin Lita got a big hit. But again, like back to like the pitching and make a mistake. We get the bases loaded. Garrett Anderson's up, and Hernandez tries to come in, doesn't get a ball in there, and Garrett just clears the bases with a bullet down the right field line, and it's just a missed pitch from a pitcher, missed location, and he didn't quite get it in as far as he wanted, and that was the ball game, and our guys got it done on the mound against, even though we had to walk Barry, I think we walked him 10 times or something crazy. I know you weren't real thrilled with that, but it was
not really. But you got to do it. He almost had it. I mean, Barry was on top of his game. I mean, I had never seen anybody locked in for that long a period of time. I mean, so you know, we've seen some great players locked in for a week, a month. Barry was locked in for like 6 months, you know.
Yep. Oh, that was something. There's no way. I mean, we walked in first and second, nobody out because. It was like, I think, you know, and that's part of your lineup that I think, you really did as much as you could with trying to protect guys, but you had to hit the needle behind him.
Right.
He was a good hitter, but obviously not a Barry's character. But also, you know what, Dusty, what we felt like as we looked at your team, your bench depth wasn't quite wasn't quite as deep as what we thought we had to be able to put guys in to pinch run. We had Sean Figgins who could fly. We could put him into a game. We had some guys that could come in and hit off the bench if they had to. And I know that your bench strength, I think that's what got you in game seven too, was you didn't have kind of the bench strength to be able to make some of the moves at the end of the game. So as we controlled the game with you know, keeping Barry under control by walking him if we had to, and
doing what you could against Jeff too.
Yeah, Jeff had a tough series. I mean, he didn't swing the bat to a can. Rich Aurelia, I think he had a couple hits. I think he had a home run in that big game, the game where you guys really skunked us. But for the most part, you know, we made pitches in game seven in particular, and were able to hold on. But that game, that series could have gone either way so many different times. It could have gone either way, and I think that's just what you would expect from from two great teams playing a seven game series.
And you almost had you did have an extra guy in the field, Dusty. I did the game. I'll never forget JT Snow coming out to get your son at home plate before he got run over. Yes. What did you? I mean, did you see it happening
when it was going? I got a call. You know, he had been the bat boy probably 30 times during the course of the year, and I always had kids out there because I had had I was diagnosed with cancer that winter, you know, December of 2001, and then I was cleared to go to spring training like February the 8th, 2002. So I barely was cleared in time to go to spring training, and so. People don't understand that, you know, when you go to the doctor and you're told that you have cancer, you just can't believe it. And I said, nah, you must have misdiagnosed me. I mean, there's no way I have cancer. They said, yeah, you got cancer. So I went in for my treatment. And then the most traumatic times of the year is when your 3-month checkup is to see if your cancer is still, if you're still cancer free. And so my son was 3 years old at the time, and I was a 50-year-old father. I was 53, so I didn't know every time I got diagnosed, checked up if my cancer came back, if I was going to live or not. And so I wanted to give my son everything that I could give him just in case my cancer came back and I didn't live. And so, I had gotten a call that morning from my mom, and she says, I got a bad feeling. I don't think Darren should be the bat boy tonight. And I'm like, come on, Mom. I said, he's done it 100 times. So now everybody's son was on the field, Barry's son, Sean Dustin's son, and they were all getting their dad's bats. And so Darren's dad is a manager. So his designated bat was Kenny Lofton. So there's a new kid in the dugout that we'd never seen before. And so the new kid, I heard him talking. He goes, I'm going to go get Kenny's bat. He was hitting. And so the other bat boy, Brandon, I said, hey, man, you keep an eye on Darren, okay, because I know this kid. Next thing I know, he shot out of the dugout. Kenny hits the ball. He shoots out of the dugout. I said, oh, no. I went to grab him, and it was too late. He was too quick. Next thing I know, he's at home plate. And so I'm like, oh, no. So after the game, you know, like he wasn't hurt. And then he went back to get the bat. This is how competitive he is, too. Even after he almost got ran over. So I go to the clubhouse after the game and my phone rings. I'm in there 20 seconds. Phone rings. I pick it up. It's my mom. She goes, that's me. I said, Mom, hey, Mom, how you doing? I was hoping she didn't watch the game. I told you not to have that boy out there being the bad boy. You don't listen to me. I said, hey, Mom, I got to go. I said, you know, the media's in here. She goes, oh, no. You tell them to wait. She goes, you're going to hear what I have to say. So for 5 minutes, she went on and on and on and on. So that was the worst part of the whole situation, is that my mom was right. My mom was getting on my butt for, you know, not listening to her. Man, I'm 53 years old. I'm still getting chewed out by my mom. So that was the worst part of the whole situation. You know,
you always got to listen to your mom, Dusty. And you know, the real story of that is that young kid is now playing collegiate ball at Cal and going into the regionals. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Yeah. And I remember watching that. and you're watching the play, and then you're looking at home plate, and you're going, wait a minute now, something's not right. Like, you used to seeing guys 6 foot two there and all this.
Oh, yeah. Benji Molina.
I'm thinking, like, you know, what base was he on? I'm thinking, did he go from third base? Where was he? I'm thinking, like, did they score an extra run I didn't see? I'm thinking, like, what is going on? And I go, oh, my God, that's little D. Oh, man. We were like, thank God he got him out of the way.
So it's the thing about it, he doesn't even remember it.
He doesn't remember. If he was three, he probably
I'm telling you. Everybody tells him, he goes, yeah. He said, Dad, I don't remember. I said, okay.
Okay, that's all right. But I'll tell you what proved that he's got the Dusty Baker competitiveness, because after that series, man, he took it hard.
Oh, he did.
Little D took it hard. And that tells you one thing. This kid, he gets it. He was born into a baseball family. He's going to compete. It's going to make him, you know what, Dusty? It's going to make him a success in baseball or whatever walk of life that he wants to pursue, because he's a winner, man. He's got those Baker genes in him.
Well, so there was a comedian on TV. It might have been Bernie Mac. And Bernie said that he had something. He said that kid was wailing. Darren B was, he didn't even know what he was crying about. And I'm like, nah, he knew what he was crying about, because the only thing he kept saying is, Dad, I didn't want them to win. I don't want them to win, Dad. I don't want them to win. And I was like, son, I don't want them to win either, but it's too late. He was crying all into the night because he wanted to win.
Gosh,
you know? Oh, yeah. So thanks a lot. So
You messed up my kid for life. No. I saw him last summer down in Anaheim, man. He's my buddy. He's okay. I said, hey, man. I'm sorry we took it to you guys in 02, and he was smiling and he was cool. He was all right.
Let me ask you. We're gonna have to wrap up. I gotta know one. A lot of things you two are saying to each other right now sounds like haven't been said before. Did you two at some point talk about the World Series after it was over?
Nope.
Oh, no, really?
No. I think, like, you know what? Like when Dusty and I, we run each other winter meetings, or we talk, or we do this, or I'll call him on the phone if something was up. It never was a cause of, like, it never was something that we would relive or talk about. I mean, we lived it. I mean, I know how hard it hurt Dusty, and I know how I would have felt if the situation was turned. In fact, you know, I don't know if Dusty even got the note. I wrote him a little note after that.
Because I got it.
Right after game seven, I wrote him a note. I said, look, take this to Dusty, man. I just wanted to tell him what the influence he had on me, what a winner he was. And although, you know, I couldn't say, I'm sorry, we won.
No, I don't want you to be sorry.
Yeah, I was like saying, man, you know, because he had as much as anybody has been in this game, Gary, Dusty's influenced me more than anybody, just from being a teammate of his, just from seeing him go around the way he went around his, you know, went around his actions. Just one quick story when I'm playing, man, he, you know, I used to play cards on a plane, and we're going into a series, and Dusty comes to me, he goes, hey, no cards today. I said, what's up? He said, get back here. Let's go. And he went over the Chicago Cubs team with me. I don't know if you remember that, Dusty, but he pulled me out of a card game. And like, it's these little lessons that you learn that says, okay, this is what this is about. This is serious. This is how you have to apply yourself. And so when we won that series, I just knew how much it hurt Dusty. And I just wanted to let him know, man, hey, I love you. This is, you know, you know, you're a winner, and this is just something that, you know, it happened to us. We feel great about it, but, you know, I know you're hurting.
So I was feeling bad for you because you couldn't get past the Yankees there at one time, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, Sosa. I was pulling for you. And, you know, you pull for your buddies. Whenever I would lose my job, invariably, this is no lie, happened three times. The first calls that I got was either from Mike Socia or Bruce Bochy or vice versa. I mean, it's like, man, what happened, dude? There's no way that should happen. You know what I mean? And it means a lot, you know, because you don't want to hear from too many people, to tell you the truth, when you lose your job. And you really don't want to hear from any fake people. But, you know, like when you hear from Soch, and like I said, Bruce Bochy, those are two of the first guys that always call and you know, send their best.
Yeah. Well, guys, I just as a fan, why we do these is to hear the kind of things you two have talked about here. I just, it's magnificent. I mean, it's just magnificent stuff. Mike Socha, Dusty Baker, thank you so much for doing this with us. And that is going to end another chapter of our Sports Rivals. You can learn more about this one and other episodes. Just log on to thesportsrivals.com. And you can join the conversation with questions and suggestions for future shows. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Sports Rivals, Twitter at Rivals_podcast, and Facebook by searching for The Sports Rivals Podcast. I want to thank you two so much. It's really been great. Thanks for being so
all right.
We really do appreciate it.
I'll see you down the road, man, okay?
All right, Pete, take it easy.
All right. Thank you all. Later. Remember, it's the rivals that make the games.
Yeah.